open our Bibles back up to the Song of Solomon chapter 1. And we're going on and seeing this. Praise God. I look at this as those facets of the diamond. And thanks be to God. How about not looking at from an outward appearance? How about looking at from within? And just seeing how he sees us. How he sees us. Amen. And just the joy that he has as he dotes upon us and loves us. And that would be our strength. The joy of the Lord. That's us. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not how much I love him. It's not about how excited. It's about how much he loves me. It's about how excited is he is about me. And I thank God, is that enough? And it is. And that's what gives us everything and gives us even more. And how he brings this grace for grace. And I do. I glory in the Lord because it's so beyond this song, this wedding song. That's what the Song of Solomon is. It's a wedding song. And it is. And it's our wedding song. And it truly is. And I don't mean to use man's expressions, but in a way, but I think this is the Lord's. It's heart-blowing. It's mind-blowing. It's everything. His desire, us. I thank the Lord. It's okay to rejoice and to love him so much for loving us and caring for us and being adored with us and ravished with us. And that, again, we were made to praise him. We were made the good pleasure of his will. We're everything to him. We are. And then we hear and thank God that we can visit with him in such an intimate way. And we can not just talk with him, we can have, I'll tell you, that intercourse is as deep as you want it to be, and he wants it at the depths of whatever we could even imagine. But kiss me, Lord. Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. And draw me. And I'm so thankful that she knows that he wants to hear that. He wants to hear that. He wants us to tell him, come after me. Kiss me. Huh? Come on. This is the lover speak. This is the love language. This is the marriage. I know it can kind of make us embarrassed in different things like that, but this is with the most intimate one that I pray that you have that most open heart with, and that's the lover of your soul. It's your Lord. And so this is the most intimate of relationship, the most intimate of joy and ecstasy that we know. And I'm telling you, this is what's so beautiful, because his love loves us perfectly, and his love loves us perfectly according to the word of God. And that's what we come to now in verse 5. The perfection of the word of God loves us in such a way, it's going to prove in us the good fight of faith. Yeah, we're going to have to fight through things. And you think about, I think most of us have been married, are married, however that those things are. You know, in a marriage, if you want it to go on, you're going to have to fight through things. And sometimes that fight is a lot. And sometimes it comes on a lot of different fronts. And sometimes it seems like it's never going to end. But love wins. Amen. And that's what this is, brothers and sisters. It's the proving in us. Is his love everything to us? And it's not... And it's not proving my love to him. It's proving that I believe truly in his first love for me. I'm finding that more and more, what that first love really is about. And that's him. Now, as we see this tonight, it's a twofold attack. Twofold. And it's in his faithfulness, the word of God says, that he afflicts us. And now we read and we hear in this beautiful song, and I know most all of us know this Song of Solomon very, very well. In chapter 6, verse 13, it says we're a company of two armies. Okay? I thank God. There's many layers to that, and I'm going to tell you something. The Lord has opened up another one that we'll get to if the Lord tarry. Tell you what a dance it is, and it's truly a dance. But in this layer that I'll speak of tonight, those two companies are shown as the lover and the fighter. The lover's been brought out, verses 1 through 4, absolutely. But now comes the fighter. True love is proven as it fights for the love. And God will bring us to these places. And here comes the warrior, this fighter, this full overcomer that's proving in us the one thing is I will go is everything.
Amen.
Amen? I will go is everything. Now let's read verses 5 and 6. It says there, I am black but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I kept not. We have two attacks here, and the very first one is from within. We know, O wretched man that I am, don't we, saints? Praise God, but God adores me. Amen? Praise the Lord, and it's okay to praise him tonight. That good fight of faith, in spite of me, he loves me. Amen? Come on. His love is greater than even my feelings about me. Huh? That's quite an internal attack, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Now, I know, as the Word of God tells us, and this gives me peace. This doesn't make me upset. It doesn't make me feel bad. I thank God for this. He tells me who I am, that within me lies no good thing. But God is ravished with me. Isn't that glorious? See, this is about his choice. This isn't about what I think. This is about his elect. It's not about what mine eyes see. This is about his first love, not about what I feel. Praise God. And I think on Sunday we rejoiced so sweetly how that was even magnified in our precious brother Peter. All those things that he thought so highly of himself, all those things that he thought he did, and when he said to the Lord, and that's what so struck my heart in that portion of scripture where he says, Lord, we have forsook all to come after you. We have followed you. What's going to be in it for us? You know, what are we going to receive for this? And the Lord, as we know, knew everything about Peter. And the Lord tells him even in that moment there, you're going to sit on one of those 12 thrones, son, ruling over one of the 12 tribes. That's what's going to happen. And here's why it's going to happen is because I'm going to show you who you forsook. And that's me, because all have forsaken me. Amen? Come on. And I'm going to show you who you really followed, Peter. It wasn't me. You were following you. You were following your desires and your feelings. You were following after what you felt would magnify you. But it doesn't matter, Peter. I chose you. We know about Peter too, that he even gave it up. He returned back to fishing. Huh? We find out he really wasn't very good at that either. But the Lord still didn't care. I chose you. My grace will get it done. Amen? So this is what's so beautiful, brothers and sisters. I know that within me lies no good thing. But God is ravished with me. And we know because we've already had the experience with me. He wants me in that chamber of love. He took me there. He took me there. He took you there. He has brought me, the King has brought me into his chamber. Now, brothers and sisters, that means something, and it means something to you. And by you going, as the Word of God says, I've come for your words. You're mine. Oh, yes, you are. I'm pursuing you. See, this is magnifying all the time, brothers and sisters, that it's the treasure in the earthen vessel, that the glory may be of God and not of us. The glory is his mercy. Do we really see that? The glory is his mercy. The glory is that he takes the less of the least. The glory is that his grace is always going to be magnified. Every time we begin to try, you know what's going to happen. You're going to fail. Every time we enter into the rest of God and let him have it, praise be to God, we increase. We increase in him. Now, what is so beautiful here is, brothers and sisters, we are the vessels of mercy. And in that, the Word of God says that we're clothed with all the riches of his glory, because once again, this magnifies his choice, and his choice is mercy. That's what he wants. That magnifies him. Now, saints, may we truly look at one another and only really see the new man. Amen? Isn't that something? I don't think we'd be as disappointed in one another if we just looked at the new man. What do you think? See, I'm talking about the heart that God sees. Yes, rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. And rejoice that we're a bunch of smoking flax and bruised reeds, but we don't burn and we don't break. We go on because we are the miracles of mercy. And that's the truth. That's who God will exalt in due time. He'll exalt you. And he will. And he's promised us that he will. So that first attack we can see is very much within, and we see that she has this going on in her because of these different ones, how they're looking at her, how she sees herself, all of these different things, but she's always springing back. Whether I am like the tents of Kedar, I'm as the curtains of Solomon. Come on now. This is what the Lord is doing in our lives. We must see as he sees. Now, the second attack, we see this very clearly there in verse 6. It says, the children, the sons, were angry. This is what that means. The sons were angry. I think it's very similar to this that I'm going to say right now. Most Christians do not like it when you catch fire in the Holy Ghost. And that's the truth. Let's be honest. Now, and I'm talking about Christians you even know. And what happens is they become angry at your joy. Have you ever had people angry at your joy? Have you ever had anybody come and shake you and say, you're too adamant about Paul's gospel? Huh? Praise God. Those that have lost their zeal, those that have grown cold, those that are dull, your joy convicts them. That is the truth. That's right. And I thank God for that, brothers and sisters. And you'll find in life, if you go after grace, there'll be more grace. You want to go after legal things, it'll go more legal. The legal will grow more legal. And the joy that you have, those legal ones and self-righteous ones, they're going to try to quench it. Oh, yes, they are. And they will. And here's how they'll try to do it. I'm sure you've heard these things, because they'll say things like, that's the flesh. Or they'll say, that's strange fire. Because they know that means something to you. And it does mean something to me. And we would never want strange fire in this place. By the grace of God, God forbid. But just as concerning, God forbid, that we would quench the spirit in this place. That we would have some type of a patrol somehow trying to monitor. Let me tell you something. Trust God. Allow the Lord to move. And I thank God he's doing it. And I'm thanking God that he's done it. And we need to just continue to yield, brothers and sisters. See, don't back off. Don't do that. And I know it's difficult, but this is the proving of the fighter. Be as David, dance with more zeal. Amen? Absolutely. David did it before his pitiful wife, Michal. And dance so much that you know you haven't seen anything yet. You don't realize how base I'm going to be in your sight because God is so ravished with me. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord, and I can testify of this even as your pastor. By the grace of God, I'm not doing that to provoke, but I'm going on. I'm so thankful to be going on. I'm so thankful to trust the Lord. And I'm so thankful that God, and each and every one of us, brothers and sisters, like I talk about those panes of glass, they emit the same light, but they emit it differently. We just need to be thankful for one another. Thank God for people that love the truth. Now, they try to defeat you. Now, how do they try to defeat you? Well, it tells you right here. They try to stick you in their garden. They try to put you under their thumb. This is how we do it around here. This is how it's got to go. This is how it has to be. I want to trust God. How about you? Huh? I tell you one thing about God's pattern. It's always something that's against yours. It's the truth. God's ways are not our ways. I thank the Lord. He doesn't do it the same way twice. Whether it's his healing. You know, I appreciate it as that brother said to him, Lord, just say it. And it's so. It was so. Take up thy bed and walk. That's great. But why do I have to be the guy that he gets the dirt and spits in it and puts it in my eye? I feel like I'm the brother way down the road because I've got to go, what? Bathe in that dirty water 7 times? Can't I be over here, take up thy bed and walk? Amen. Oh, Jesus, help us. And we all need it. But what happens is they try to put you under their thumb. And they want you to tend their garden, and they want to mind you to mind what they want you to be about. But brothers and sisters, it's a big, emphatic no. And that's verse 7. And here she goes. Kiss me, draw me, and now tell me. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loves, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one as that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? See, I thank God for this. Tell me, it's mine. You're mine. Tell me it's mine. It's all mine. I'm not going to settle being defeated here. I don't care if everybody's trying to defeat me. I was made the vessel only for your use. I'm going right back where you took me right from the very beginning. You took me into your chamber. I know this intimacy. I know verses 2 through 4 were real. And I was there with you. They mean something to me. They mean everything to me. Because I know you're in love with me. And notice what happens here. She quits talking to them. This is important. She quits talking to them. Who does she talk to? Thou whom my soul loves. I'm telling you, saints, ones that don't want the truth, ones that try to get you away from the truth, ones that try to distract you or plant legality in your life, you need to quit talking to them. You think you're being polite, you don't want to avail yourself to that. You want to get away from it. And you want to get away from it very quickly. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. You think, well, it's brother so-and-so or sister this and that. They want to go that way. They can go so-and-so and this and that way out over there. I don't want that. You don't want that. And I thank God he doesn't want that. Now, what happens here, brothers and sisters, is when she quits talking to them, what happens is she quits wasting her time. That's what happens. And she quits wasting her time with the legal wannabes, and she goes right to her lover to talk to him. Talk to your lover. Amen? And I love how she says it. See, love breaks through here. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loves. My soul loves. This is the depth of everything I am. This is my whole being. This is my purpose of life. My soul. My soul loves you. Amen? The deepest love. And what happens? That's what brings her in. He gave her the love. He consummated it in her. And she knows the bridal love right back there in verses 1 and 2, or 2 and 3, I should say, right from the very beginning. And I love what she says here. Why should I be in anyone else's field? Why should I be in anybody else's field? I don't need to be fed out of a garbage can. Why do I need scraps? And this gets even more specific. I don't want to be in the cornfield. Uh-uh. That's a ladder. That's a ladder harvest. I don't want to be in the vineyard, in a sense, in that regard. That grapes, those are the, that's the last harvest. I'm barley. Get me in the barley field. That's my field. Praise the Lord. That's where Ruth was put. That's the Redeemer's field. That's the first harvest field, the barley field. And this is what she wants. I want your field, not anybody else's, yours. I want that barley field of Ruth. I want that first rapture. I want that first trumpet. I want the best. I've got the crown because the king took me into his chamber. Do you see? What's so beautiful is she claims his love. She claims his love. He's told me this. He loves me. That's everything. All of his promises that he's promised, yes, they're mine. I understand that. But the one thing I can claim over everything, the reason I have the promises, the reason I have everything from him, is because he loves me. And he's in love with me. And this is everything to me. So this love breaks through. And she stands on what she knows. She and what she knows that she is to him. And what is that? Everything. It's just like we say, well, Lord, you're everything to us. Well, it's because we're everything to him. Brothers and sisters, without us, he has no kingdom. He doesn't. He doesn't have a kingdom. Without us, praise God, he will not take his throne in glory. Praise God. This is who we are to him. This is what we stand upon. This is how much he loves us. This is how bold she is in remembering. When David said, encourage yourself in the Lord, how much is this encouraging you? His love for me encourages me. See, if I'm looking to how I act in life, I operate in life, all the good deeds I do in life or I don't do, if that's my barometer for my self-worth, I missed it as a Christian. If that's my barometer of, again, how satisfied I am with the Lord, I'm missing it. See, what happens truly when we're are in love and so ravished and in this rapture divine of love and in love, everything else doesn't matter. Your thoughts are occupied on one thing. And it's beautiful when it's on that one thing. You're not doing a lot of other things. They might still be there, all of these different things, but it doesn't matter because of love. It's glorious. I was thinking again how all of, you know, we've been so graced in this meeting to have these babies and babies on the way. And I know that there's been some heartaches and different things as well too. But God's faithful. God's faithful. And God is good. And the joy of these children. And I know that many of these different sweet sisters, these mommies, have had some difficult labor lately. And long labors, and as they would say, that painful and different things. But yet, even though in all of that pain, there was a joy, and there was love, and it was amazing. And it was like, if it wasn't because of that love, just for this child, this life, this beautiful baby, you would never endure the intensity of that pain if it was pretty much for anything else. But it's for that. And see, the Lord gives us these things, and he gives us these things even in our natural life to even have more of an understanding. Lord, you can bring this love in my life no matter what I go through, no matter what I don't like about it, what I don't like about me, all of these different things. When this word saturates this life, I leave this planet. I have peace, I have joy, I have rest. I have purpose. I have meaning. It's everything. All these things that people are looking for, I've already got it. And I thank God for it. And just rejoice. Count your blessings in how he does love you. But she remembers this all the time, even though it's later on. His desire is towards me. His desire is towards me. That's what counts, saints. That's what will bring you on through this journey. This is what will keep you in first love. It's all about his desire. Isn't that why we worship the Lord? Isn't that why we love him so much? Isn't that why we're in such awe of God? Because he's God? But then he's brought us into a communion and a relationship with him of this intimate, personal love that he has with you. And it's just so beyond outstanding in knowing who God is and growing in this, you know, I have this Father and I have this Savior and I have this friend. And wait a second, I've got this lover of my soul. I have a bridegroom. I have a spouse. I have this one as I grow up into. We have this equal relationship that he needs me just as much as I need him. That I'm not complete without him, and he's not complete without me. And he tells us this in the Word of God. This isn't just mushy feeling stuff that somehow I concoct in my head to go on with the Lord. Let me tell you something. What was given to the Apostle Paul fulfills the Word of God. It completes, fulfills Jesus. And I thank the Lord. Here it is, what completes him. That mystery was Christ Jesus in his church. Hallelujah. The bride, the glory in the church that will come out from it. Now, I want more of that. And this is what this precious life says. The only way I'm going to have it, I got to be in his field. I can't be messing around with all of this stuff. And I want the ones that are in that field to be with those ones. I want to be in that flock. I want to be fed in that field. I want that strong meat. It has to be that exact. Oh, yeah. Not over there, here. It's got to be that one. That one. And it gets real specific here. We'll get there in just a second. But this is the bounty in this field. This is the field of his elect. This isn't just picking out scraps. And brothers and sisters, no matter the pitfalls, no matter the failures, no matter how it looks, no matter what I've done, all things work together for good to them that love God. And that's why it's so beautiful. Here's what she says. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loves, I love you. No matter what just went down. And this will go on in this journey. It's just not a one-time thing. We know that she's going to have these pitfalls all the way along. But it always comes back to this. Grace. Grace causing her heart not to turn to her, but to turn to him. And to turn to him to say, tell me, call me, speak to me. I desire you. You're my love. I love you. Isn't that glorious? I love you. And in that love, here's all the promise. Honey, I work all things together for your good. You are the called according to my purpose. This is glorious. Now, all things work together for good to them that love God, and she loves him, and she lets him know it, even though others don't want her to say it. And they don't. Huh. Tell me, O thou who my soul loves. Let him always tell you, brothers and sisters, you don't have but one mediator, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Let him tell you. Let's close this up for tonight. Now notice this. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loves, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock. Now listen to this. To rest at noon. At noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Now brothers and sisters, fully fed sheep are still. When sheep are really fed, they're still. They'll lay down. They'll be idle. And they'll be idle in the heat of day. In the heat of day. And that's very interesting how that works. Usually in the heat of day, sometimes things get a little bit, uncomfortable, and different ones want to move around. They want to get over here and there. But when they're really fed, they'll lay down and they'll be at peace. But you really got to feed them. Now, do you want to be in that field that's like a furnace? Huh? Now, this is the heat of noon field. What do you think? Oh, I thought it was that Lotus Land of East field that I was going to be in, huh? That one that had all the shady trees and all of those things? Uh-uh. This is the field you want. You want to be fed the best. You want to have the feed that tries you. You want to have the feed that proves you. And this is the full overcomer flock. I thank the Lord for that. This isn't choosing the easy way. This is going to the high places. This is going past the halfway house, brothers and sisters. This is not turning back. And think of this. We're still in chapter 1. And this got really serious really fast. You think, my goodness, is this over yet? Nah, we just started, honey. And here we go. And this is how God works. And we know that. You know, you think about how when you started off with the Lord, and I see these different ones that are touched of God. And there's a young man that just came with my son, Evan. And I know God's very much after him. And you could just see him break that day, just so beautifully, melted before God. Knowing, oh, I'm going to be back here next week. I'm going to be here. And I'm going to bring my family. I'm going to do all these things and all. Well, one thing and another happened. It didn't come. Then by the next week, the whole world caved in on him. I'm still believing God he'll be back. But see, that's the fight. These are the things that happen. And brothers and sisters, as full overcomers, I don't want the Lotus Land of Peace, Lord. I want to be in that field. And I know why I'm here in that field. I'm in this field at 1701 South Sherman. I get a feed with an elect flock. Thanks be to God. And these are soldiers that endure hardness. It's true. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here if you didn't endure hardness as a good soldier. Because there's no other explanation why you'd be here. It's the truth. And We're tried in different ways, brothers and sisters. You can say, well, other people get sick and other people have tragedies and other people have these different things. But we have them suffering together with Christ. See, I have a different kind of hell that happens to me than a sinner. When I make my bed in hell, he's there with me. What do you think? Oh, saints, enjoy how he loves you. Really. Enjoy how he loves you. You know, really thank the Lord for your life and for your brother and sister's life and the fight that goes on in here. I commend you, saints. We're a gnarly group. We've come a long way through a lot of things. The Lord's had to, as we would say in a lot of ways too, some of that shine had to come off of you because it wasn't real. It was fake. It was your goodness. We can't be found having our own righteousness, which is of the law. Can't happen, honey. I can't stop looking at you right now because grace decided that for your life. Oh, so soon. So soon, let him hold you in it. Be still. Be still and know he's God. So, we're here in the field. By the grace of God, feeding on the strong meat. I'm hot. You hot? I was hot today. Yeah. But you know what? I thank God I was by some other sheep that were very, very still. Appreciate you, brother. Be still. Sometimes I need to hear my brother tell me, wait on the mighty hand of God. Now, how does the Lord calm his goodly pearl? Well, we're going to find that out, but I have to kind of give you a precursor. He doesn't correct us with condemnation. He never does. He doesn't correct us and says, oh man, you're just such a pitiful piece of junk. He says, son, the devil's going to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you. She had a moment of unbelief there, didn't she? You'd think, well, my goodness, with all that intimacy with God, I'm just going to run so perfect. This is the perfect run. He abides faithful still. He abides faithful in my unbelief. Praise God. He cannot deny himself. These are things we have to come to know. And what he's going to tell her right away, verse 8, even if she didn't know where that flock was. Oh, thou fairest among women. You know what that translates? My beautiful wife. My most beautiful wife. That's what Jesus says to you. You've been confused and rocked. His first words out of his mouth were, well, you should know. Get back in line. Oh, thou, if thou knowest not. my most beautiful wife. Go the way forth by the footsteps of the flock. You know, some people look at that and they say, well, you know what that means? That means the hinder part. That means get in the back of the line, see, because that's exactly what that means. You're going to get in the back part of the flock. Do you know how a shepherd leads? Not from the front. He leads his sheep from the back. He told her to get to the closest place with me. Sometimes you think you're in the back. You know what? It's the best place to be. I pray we don't have another one. But if we do, we'll go on. Amen, saints. I love your longing for him. It builds mine. And I'm privileged to be here tonight and thanking him. What an honor it is to feast in his flock. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, be dismissed.